Well, God bless you guys. Good morning. Here we are. It's March 15th, and it is a historic day. We as a country, we as a church have, in my lifetime, have never been in a situation like this before, where there's been this level of reaction. And it is, of course, because of a virus that's moving across the planet. And with all that we know about it right now, it seems to be a relatively benign sickness. But there's something else going on that I can assure you is going to have far greater consequences, and it's going to be far longer in its impact and effect on us. And that is the virus of fear. I don't know anybody yet who's been infected with coronavirus. As a matter of fact, there's very few cases relatively in the U.S., but I have seen from city to city, all across the nation, people infected, their brains and hearts and emotions and thoughts fevered with fear. And I think it's revealing. It tells us something about who we are as a people. It tells us something about who we trust or what we trust or what causes panic in us. And what I found is the effect of fear has only been able to transmit because of the power of we. In other words, community has allowed us to stay connected to the degree and to the sense that we are likely uninfecting ourselves with coronavirus or flu or cold, and we are with a high probability infecting each other with fear and panic. That is the power of we. When you come together, when you're put together, whether through social media, or just spending time with people, and they are being driven by fear and panic, they are infecting everybody that they know, that they come into contact with, that they have conversation with. They are spreading the germs of their panic and fear. And as I've seen, and you have as well, in the stores and in just about every area of life, in government, that there is a reaction that is really almost entirely based in fear and panic. And so it should stir the church to ask ourselves this question: is it our position, is it our posture as followers of Christ to sit back and ask the world what is true? And then what should we do about it? Or should we, as followers of Christ, have a completely different perspective, one that does not follow the pulse and the pattern of a world who's running around hopelessly, full of fear, panicking, in hysteria, with nowhere to turn and no one to turn to? Well, you already know the answer to that. As a follower of Christ, our attitude, our perspective, our mind, our heart should be completely different. And so if you'll let me, for the next couple minutes, I just want to share three things with you that give us the power and authority to infect each other through the community, through the impact of we, so that we as an individual, that me as an individual, that you as an individual, aren't contaminated by the infection and by the impact of those who don't know the promises of God, but rather that you would put yourself in the path of those who do, and that the power of we would infect me and you with the kind of hope and the kind of faith and the kind of courage and the kind of trust that God's calling us to in moments just like this. Because if we can't be the mind and the heart of Christ in a moment like this, then when is it useful at all? Then when does it even matter? And so if you will, hopefully you've gotten a hold of the notes. We should have attached these to the video. And if not, you can just write this down, but put down some things that God uses this time to encourage you with. All right, let's get started together. The collective faith of we helps me to, number one, walk in courage when the world tells me to hide in fear. To walk in courage when the world tells me to hide in fear. So I've been watching different government leaders as they sort of scramble to react to everything. And they've been coming up with maybe what have been well-intentioned input from other people, from medical experts, but what I found is that they are all reaching arbitrary numbers to help sort of control the we factor. How many of us get together and mitigate our ability to impact each other and affect each other and infect each other? And for one state, it's 1,000 people. For another, like New York, they are limiting crowds to 500 people. And then here in California, of course, you know that that number is 250. All that to say that there doesn't seem to be a certainty about how we infect or impact each other, or what number is the safest. And I suppose that if 250 is the best number, then of course 50 would be an even better number. And if 50 still allows us to be infected, then 5 would be a better number than that. And really following that logic all the way out, really the safest place to be is by yourself with nobody else, because then you can't be infected. Then you can't come into contact with anyone else who's sick. So there is an effort to sort of reduce the impact that we have on each other. That's really not the heart or mind of God, though, to use that kind of thinking in order to keep ourselves well. God doesn't want us walking around in fear of one another, in fear of circumstances, in fear of the kind of things that we're experiencing. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:7. For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you power, love, and self-control. Listen, you can't expect those who aren't followers of Christ to be walking in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. They're going to act like they act. That's why you see such a lack of character, such a weakness of resolve, such an absence of wisdom, such a selfishness and self-preservation mentality, the hoarding and the panic and the fear and all the characteristics that are exposed when something like this happens. When people don't have the faith of Christ, when they don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they begin to act out of their true character. But we as followers of Christ should be walking in a completely different mindset. We should be walking in the authority, in the power, in the confidence, and in the courage of the Holy Spirit. That's why in 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says this: be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. Let me say that again. Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. God warns us that we can't be caught off guard. If you look around, clearly we all got a little caught off guard. I mean, if you go to the stores right now, people sort of look around and feel like they should have had this thing. And so now they're going to buy that thing. And not only are they going to buy it, they're going to buy 15 of it because they don't want to ever be caught off guard again. You and I, as followers of Christ, should be assessing and evaluating how we got caught off guard by this. In other words, asking ourselves this question: when this all started happening around us, what was our first reaction? Did we react in faith? Did we react in courage and confidence in our trust in God? Or did we get caught up in the fear and the panic and the hysteria that the world has infected each other with? So the Bible says, be ready for situations like this that test our faith. Stand firm in what we know to be true of God. And if you don't know what's true of God, then read His word, because His promises are true. And then use that faith we have to face the uncertain future with courage. And then finally, face the things that attack us with the strength of God's immovable spirit. Amen? That's a good word. All right, secondly is this: the collective faith of we helps me to, number two, trust in God's promises when the world is preaching confusion. Trust in God's promises when the world is preaching confusion. So one of the most controlling forces that we'll face in our lives and that we can fall victim to, and that the enemy uses to control our mind and our emotions. Let me say that again. The enemy uses moments like the one we're in to control our minds, our hearts, and our emotions. And here is the power of that. Here's the tool that the enemy uses. It is the uncertain future. You and I don't have the vantage point or the perspective. We don't see our lives linearly. We can't get up and see our lives even holistically. We only see what's right presently before us. And that can be scary because we don't know what tomorrow holds. And that's why we act out. We go hoard resources. We're uncertain of our job. We're uncertain of the economy. And so we try to hoard finances and hoard resources and hoard food and hoard toilet paper because we all want comfort in the bathroom when we're uncertain about our future. It's really interesting to see the way we walk when we aren't certain who we should trust. So let me ask you this. If I were to promise you that you would have everything you need, that all of your needs would be taken care of forever, would that make you feel any better? If I said, I promise you, I'm not going to let you go hungry. I'm not going to let your needs go unmet. I promise you all the things you need, I'm going to take care of. Well, that might make you feel comfort if you, number one, trusted my motives and trusted my character. If you knew me well enough, you would feel some comfort in that. But at some point, you might not feel great comfort in it because you would realize that I have limited resources. There's simply too many of you for me to make that promise to all of you and keep that promise. I don't have unlimited resources. I don't have unlimited money. I don't have unlimited access to all the things that you need in your life. So when anyone comes along and makes a promise, whether it's government or a person or anyone else makes the promise that they're going to take care of you, there's a likelihood you don't fully trust that. The question is this: do you and I have the ongoing present faith, the peace of mind and the peace in our heart to believe that when God makes promises that he'll always be with us, that he'll never forsake us, and that he's always going to take care of our needs, and that he has the resources and ability to do it, do we actually trust that? And if we don't, then we are in the middle of not only a health crisis, but a crisis of our faith. And so I want to read a passage to you. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. This is God, by the way, getting the Israelites ready to go into an uncertain future. Here's what's happening in their history. They've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they responded to God's promises with fear and doubt. And God sent them on a long time out and is now bringing them to the place where they're ready to possess the promises of God. But Moses is getting ready to die, so they're going to lose their leader who've led them through all kinds of insane circumstances. And they had a troubled past with following Moses' lead and following the voice of God through Moses. And so here they are, getting ready to lose the only leader they know. And they're getting ready to enter into the promised land, and they're going to have to fight those who are there occupying it. And let me read again what God says. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid and do not panic in front of them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. I want you to hear this. This did not catch God by surprise. No pandemic ever does. No sickness ever does. No threat ever does. It doesn't catch God by surprise. And when God says, I'm going to go before you, it means that God has already been here. God has already done this. God has already seen how it turns out. And just as importantly, God has seen how you and I have interacted in our faith and our trust with him, or our lack of faith and trust. That's why Proverbs 3:5 warns us, trust the Lord completely and don't rely on your own opinions, your own understanding, other translations will say. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Ask yourself this question. In all of this, how often have you stopped to ask God for his wisdom, to ask God to guide you in your decision making, in the way you respond, in the way you react to the uncertainty around you? And then third and finally is this. The collective faith of we helps me to rest, and this is going to be my favorite point, to rest in the rhythms of peace while the world rides waves of panic. I want to say that again. Rest in the rhythms of peace while the world rides waves of panic. So there's an absolute perfect story in the Bible, and you might be one step ahead of me and already know this. You may have even read it, or you may have heard others online sharing it, or maybe you listened to a podcast in which you heard this, but it's a perfect story and you can't hear it too many times. It's a story that helps illustrate what we're going through and how we usually react to things. And then you get to see Jesus remain completely unshakable no matter what the circumstances are. So let me read this from Mark 4, 35 through 40. Hopefully you're getting a chance to write those scriptures down, or maybe you do have the notes in front of you. On that day when evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, "Let us go across to the other side," speaking of a lake. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. So there were the boat Jesus was in, and then there was other boats as well. And a great windstorm arose. And other translations say a great storm arose, or suddenly arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat. Other translations indicate that water was being taken on, and they were at great risk of drowning, of the boat going under. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Other translations say, "Do you not care that we're going to die?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Now, I hope you're seeing all the parallels in that story. They have plans that are completely interrupted, disrupted by an unexpected storm. The storm happens to be a force of nature that is completely beyond their ability to control. Have you figured out yet that there is nothing that can be done to stop the spread of coronavirus? Viruses don't care where we run, don't care where we hide. Viruses are viruses, and they will chase us down every... It's a force of nature that can't be controlled. It's a force that spread upon them, that came upon them with overwhelming speed and strength to the degree they immediately felt threatened. To the degree that every one of them in that boat and the other boats thought that they were going to die. They believed the worst case scenario. And then Jesus gets angry, or they get angry with Jesus because he's peacefully sleeping in the boat. I don't know if you've ever been on a boat that has been rocked by waves. I've been in a little boat. I've got a little aluminum fishing boat, and I've made the mistake of going out on Folsom Lake when it's windy, and it is rough. It's almost unbearable, the power the wind has to make that lake unnavigable and difficult, to where if you go too fast, you feel like you're going to turn the boat over. And I've actually been on a giant cruise ship that's been rocked by waves and made me nauseous and started making me a little fearful. What if this doesn't go well? And they were angry at Jesus, who, for lack of all other descriptions, was maybe the captain of the boat. They were looking to him to lead them, and there was Jesus sleeping peacefully on a cushion. And what I love about that is that they concluded from him sleeping is that he simply must not care. I love the voice of people when they conclude in their own sort of armchair theology that when something bad is happening, it must be because God does not care. But Jesus awakens and he speaks to the storm for a couple reasons. One, because Jesus can do that, and two, because Jesus wants to do that to demonstrate his power and authority over everything. Forces of nature, crisis, circumstances that seem outside of our control. And listen, here's the big thing that Jesus remarks on and brings that whole circumstance to a place where they have to evaluate themselves. Jesus says, "Why in the world are you so afraid? Don't you have any faith in me?" This was a moment in which you could have practiced not even perfect faith, You could have practiced moderate faith. You could have come and said, hey, Jesus, you may or may not want to address this. Just thought you should know about it. You seem really relaxed, and I guess we're starting to stress out a little bit. No, they came to and said, we're all going to die. Don't you even care that we're going to die? And I think Jesus, maybe in his words, and I hope we get to see the whole conversation here, but I wonder if Jesus might have said, listen, you just woke me up from a great nap. These waves had rocked me to sleep. I knew how this turned out. I knew that the waves didn't have authority over me, but I had authority. I knew the storm wasn't going to overwhelm me, that I could overwhelm the storm. I had confidence the whole time in God's power within me. I was sleeping on these waves of peace while you were being offended and impacted and scared and upturned by those waves. And I look at our circumstances around us and I wonder if we realize that we can go running around the boat, we can hoard all the toilet paper we want, we can go clean the shelves of every, we can watch the news 24 hours a day, we can shake our fist at heaven and ask God where he's at in these circumstances, or we can go to God and we can say, Lord, I want to rest with you in these rhythms of peace. I want this storm to rock me to sleep. I want to feel the comfort of being with the one who can command the waves to stop. I don't want to run around in fear. I don't want to run around in faithlessness. I don't want to run around in hopelessness. I want to run around in declaring that my God that I serve has authority over all things. I want to rest in that peace. I want to walk through this season and every season that will follow this, because can I tell you this? This isn't the last thing. Once everyone else has figured out that the world will react in fear, there'll be more and more opportunities for people to manipulate emotions and minds and hearts to gain control and do things that they want to do. And you and I as followers of Christ need to be messengers of riding the rhythms of God's peace through these storms. Can I pray over you and your home? I'm going to pray for your health. I'm going to pray for your faith and your certainty in God's love for you and your certainty in God's provision for you. And then I'm going to pray for our church. But if you will, with your family, grab a hand. It's still safe to go ahead and grab the hands of your family. Maybe you have some friends over today, and let's pray together. Father, I thank you for our church. I'm heartbroken we're not together. I'm disappointed we can't gather. I'm disappointed we can't infect each other with the power of we and increase each other's faith. But I believe in Jesus' name that our church is watching this, that they're gathering together as a family, and that their faith is increased, God. Your word says that when it goes out, it never returns void. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, when the word of God is taught, faith is increased. So I believe in Jesus' name, faith is increased across this city, and that our church family, our community of faith, will be infectious to those that they come into contact with. I pray for health. We don't want anyone's life to be at risk, and we know that we have those who are elderly and those who are immunocompromised, those who have illnesses and underlying conditions that put them at great risk, and we pray health over them and protection over them, whether it's from the flu or cold or coronavirus or anything else that might threaten their safety. We pray in Jesus' name, you put a covering of protection around them. And I pray, God, against this sickness for everyone that miraculously and supernaturally it stops in its tracks. I don't want to be sick at all. I don't want my family to be sick, even if it's just mild symptoms and annoying, irritating symptoms. God, we want to live in victory, even in our health. And so we pray for that. But I pray now for our nation. I pray that there would be a calm that would settle. I pray against the force of negative media, whether it's social media or mainstream media. I pray, God, that you would silence their effectiveness in contaminating the hearts and minds of people with fear and panic. And I pray for us, God, as a church, and I mean church, capital C, church worldwide, that we would stand up and be voices of hope and courage and strength and faith and calm as the storm rages around us, that we would be infectious even as people rage against us for not panicking with them, even as they're angry at us for not panicking with them, we would continue to be the voice in the mind of Christ to everyone. And I believe for all this, and I believe for us to get to be back together soon. And I believe for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple final closing thoughts is, number one, live life. Enjoy each other. Go out. Have dinner. Use common sense. Wash your hands. Stay away from people who are sick. But go live life. Help support local businesses. And help us get back to normal. Number two is this. Be watching your email. But follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And maybe you're not a big social media person, but that is one way that we get information out instantly. And then, of course, you can always go to the website, mysummit.church, www.mysummit.church. And then finally is this, guys, we need you to be faithful. This is not a money thing. This is just us encouraging you to live in obedience all the time. And for those who are tithers, you know the obedience of giving, and you live in the victory of that, and you know that that's just something you do. But for those who are giving, continue to give to Summit, because our financial responsibilities don't stop. As a matter of fact, a lot of them have increased because of this. And so be faithful during this time, and God's going to reward you and bless you because of that. And there's a couple ways to do it. One, from your cell phone, you can just text the word My Summit, one word, to 77977. You can go on to the app and give through there. You can go onto the website and give through there. Of course, you can set it up through your online bill pay through your bank. There's a lot of different ways to do that, or just send it into the office, P.O. Box 1747, Lincoln 95648. We're praying for you guys. And if you need special prayer, please call into the office. There are going to be some limited office hours because most of our staff have young kids who are home because of the school closures, but we will work our very best to respond. But you can email your prayer requests to us. You can reach out to us. We're here for you, and we're going to be communicating with you and telling you what's coming up for us in the future. Right now, all Rooted groups are still on. Women's Retreat is still on, and we'll keep you up to date. So far, Main Service and Youth Service are the two that are right now impacted by just sort of a self-imposed pause in all of this. I love you guys. I can't wait to be with you again this way. Next week, we're going to keep you updated on all of our plans, but at least for next week, we're going to be mobile again. We're actually working on streaming a service. We're going to have live worship. I'm going to be speaking live, and we're going to have kind of a small studio audience that will be there with us, and we're going to bring that service to you live. Look out for more of that information coming your way. God bless you guys. Thanks for spending the time with us. We'll see you soon.